so my name is Tim Jones and I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust and the One Another Project in Trafalgar Square, London. It's the 8th of October 2009 and the time is 2:20 in the morning. Can you please tell me your name, your age and where you come from?
Yes, I'm John Edwards. I'm 67, 68 in a couple of weeks' time. I come from a place called Church Eaton, which is a small village just outside Stafford. So that's where I've lived for about the last 40-odd years. Originally, I come from South Wales.
Okay. And when was it you first found out about the One Another Project?
Oh, that's a difficult question. It seems to have just sort of appeared in different... I've seen it in the newspapers, I've heard bits of it on the radio, I've heard things on television. I suspect it first came to light when it actually opened.
What inspired you to put your name forward?
Well, I'm fairly well involved in extrovert activities, so once you get involved with Morris dancing, which is a fairly extrovert activity in its own right, and then you venture into the worlds of the fools and beasts, which is the hobby horse which I have outside, then this is an extremely high profile type activity anyway. So whenever you go anywhere, thousands of people want to take your pictures and have their pictures taken with you and all this kind of stuff. So I thought, well, that publicity is not something I'm shy of. And to be quite honest, because it's a British tradition and it gets very little general publicity, I thought, well, there's just a chance I might get on it. I think they've had one other Morris dancer who's been on and played. So I decided that I was going to come on and talk. But I've brought my hobby horse with me.
How did you get into Morris?
Well, it is actually incurable. You do realise this. This is once you get involved in it, you're in it for life. I suppose in my 20s, I was involved with Stafford Folk Dance Club and the sort of folksy side of thing, the song clubs, playing a bit of music, that kind of thing. And because quite a few of the people there were involved in Morris, they said, oh, why don't you come along? And I thought, no, I don't feel like doing that. And then I eventually gave it a try, and I've thoroughly enjoyed it, and I've been involved ever since. So it's something which you everybody sort of sees and said, isn't it wonderful the traditions keep going? And then you say, well, how about giving it a try? And they, oh, no, I don't want to do it. I just want to see other people doing it. But once people try it, they get hooked.
And what would you say then your relationship is with it? How does it affect you and what does it mean to you?
Well, it's one of many hobbies. First of all, it's extremely good exercise. So as it's free and you don't have to join a gym or anything, and it's fantastic company. The people involved in it are all sort of... Put it this way, there's no such thing as a self-conscious Morris dancer. they're all very outgoing people and very friendly. And once you get involved with that, it's good atmosphere. Also, it gets you into a tremendous number of places that other people don't get to. Somebody says, isn't it expensive to go to Warwick Castle? And I said, no idea, we get paid. none of us get anything personally out of it financially. But we don't class it as a charity, although we do a lot of charity type work. Really, I just think it's a contribution. It's good exercise, good fun, and it keeps the traditions going, which I believe is important.
Can you expand on that a little bit then? So
well, traditions. We have this habit in the UK of saying, let's put on a dance show. What shall we do? We'll have some Indian Bhangra dances. We'll have a Jamaican steel band. We'll have some ballet dancers from Russia, and that's British dance. Well, it just isn't. The real traditional English side of it probably is Morris and its associated activities. There's lots of different types of Morris dancing, which I shall bore people with on the plinth. And really, I think it's about time people woke up to the fact they've got their own traditions and they should support them.
So what impact would you like your time on the plinth to have?
Wake Mr. Coe up to the idea that there ought to be Morris dancers at the opening of the Olympic Games. The film that's been produced, Morris, A Life with Bells On, has achieved something like 97% seating capacity in hundreds of village halls all over the country. Yet the big film directors, film circuit people, refuse to touch it. And it's a very good film. It's got people like Derek Jacobi in it, so it's not an amateur show. But only this week they've managed to get one of the very small, whatever they call, distributors with particular cinemas to show it generally. And my luck is that I picked the 8th of October to be here. When's the only time it's being shown within 40 miles of where I live in Birmingham? Today. So while it's being shown, the only place I could possibly go and watch it. And because that is a very specialist activity, I just think it's a great pity.
And can you tell, what other stuff do you get up to in your spare time?
Oh, quite a lot, if you listen to my wife too much. The other thing I'm going to deal with today is something called the Freemen of England and Wales, which is an organisation representing the ancient burgesses of the boroughs of the old cities around the country. Nothing to do with Freemasons at all. It's a before they invented mayors and corporations and councils, the burgesses or the freemen ran the boroughs, and in a lot of cases there's still various heritage things, either land or property or whatever. And in Stafford we have some land which is currently down to allotments, which is about 22 acres of land, and I'm a trustee of that. So there's that. I'm chairman of the Village Hall Committee. One piece of advice I'll give you, don't ever retire, because as soon as you do, everybody says, oh, you've got time to do this, 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 and this, and the net result is you haven't. Well, there's that. Once a year I retain my job as a scout leader by wiring up St Mary's Church with video cameras and whatever, so that the kids can see what's going on the in the centre, rather than being behind pillars and not knowing what's going on. So just lots and lots of different activities. Really, I'd say it's just a matter of fitting all these different things in. I'd give a lot for a bit of boredom.
And what was it you did for a living before you retired?
I was a quality manager. I was a chartered electrical engineer in a company that makes protection equipment for the overhead lines, the 400,000 volt lines and this like, have all got safety equipment on them. And that safety equipment really, should anything go wrong, like it be struck by lightning, switches it off in order to make it safe. If it switches it off when it shouldn't do, and you shut off half of Buenos Aires, or you disconnect, as we have done, the complete Kuala Lumpur suburban railway system from the main supplies, the idea is you send the quality manager out in order to answer the questions and say why it happened. And then he gets taken apart, and then when he comes back to the factory, he makes sure it doesn't happen again. So I've been all over the world doing that kind of thing. It's a very interesting activity, but pretty high stress. We managed to shut off the power to the World Trade Center in Dubai the day the Emir was visiting. Not a good idea, really. And so going out to sort that out does give you a tremendous involvement with people from overseas and the way they think. We've got factories in India, South Africa, Canada, or USA, and I've been to all those to sort quality systems out. So I've done a bit of travelling.
So how would you say then all those travels have kind of affected you? What's that been like?
Well, it's really quite an insight into the way different groups of people think. And it's a very dangerous business to assume that just because it applies where you live, it's going to apply elsewhere. The company got taken over by a French company who believed the only way to do things was the way it was done in Paris. And even the French rep from Colombia said, they don't seem to understand that I have to know which group of terrorists to bribe so that I can get the equipment on site. So you learn all these different things. And I've really enjoyed interacting with people from everywhere. And I've still retained contacts with people in, say, India, Argentina, Brazil, these sort of places, which a lot of people never even get to, let alone make friends there.
So what would you say are the most important things to you at the moment in your life?
Well, obviously family. I've just got a granddaughter who's coming up 2, and she's everybody's pride and joy. My 2 sons, one lives in Cambridge designs basically security equipment and whatever. So if your house gets broken into, it rings your mobile phone, tells you that your back door was opened at 3:30 or whatever. And my other son is working for the United Nations in Rome, working for the World Food Programme, which is quite an interesting job in its own right. It's also very good getting cheap holidays in Rome. Then probably, and without forgetting to mention my wife, who's obviously very important to me. Also friends, particularly in the village where I live. And I really just like interacting with people, I suppose.
And how did you meet your wife?
You're not going to believe this. Dwile flonking. You're looking perplexed.
Explain what
I thought you might ask that, yes. Dwell flonking was a sort of an allegedly ancient tradition which involved flinging beer-soaked rags at people in a circle, going round dancing to folk music and whatever. And I went to a folk festival, and we'd been larking about with this previously. And I went into a marquee, and there's a couple of guys there throwing sponges at each other. And I said, "What are you doing?" And they said, "Dwell flonking." And I said, "No, you're not. You're not doing it properly, you see." And they said, "Oh, have you ever heard of it?" I said, "Yes, I'm actually a member of a team," because I had been for about an hour previously. And with that, I finished up getting a huge marquee full of people, all having a whale of a time. I just sort of took over the microphone and said, "Well, this is how you do it." And Carol was one of the ones who joined the joined the circle. And it wasn't afterwards we met and talking about this say, way out activity that we got together.
So what would you say are your plans for the future, hopes, plans for the future?
Well, at about 67, I'm planning to carry on Modest Danced into approximately 90. So from a keep it point of view, I've just rewired the house, replumbed the house, built in a bathroom and whatever. So one or two little oddments like that to do. Still interested in travel. We've just got back from Egypt. In fact, we got back at 5:00 this morning, so getting down here has been a bit of an exercise. I've been to about 60 odd countries, and that's only about less than a third of them, so I've got a few to go at. Really, I just enjoy what I'm doing now and want to press on with it.
And what's it like being one of 2,400 people that get to take part in the One Another project?
Well, quite an honour, I suppose. Regrettably, I didn't get on till the very last minute, and this involved rearranging holidays and all sorts of things like that. But I think you probably ought to ask me that after I've been on the plinth and seen how it's gone. But really, to get through the selection process, I mean, I even listened to the Archers, and they did quite a bit on that. Could any of the characters get on, and couldn't they? And they all failed. So I thought, right. The other problem was that you see, you had so many emails saying, "Congratulations, you've won a holiday. Congratulations, I've got £1 million to give you." When you get one, "Congratulations," you're tempted to delete it immediately. And I think, oh no, it's from One Another. And so I was actually quite pleased to get that.
And how are you feeling? Half an hour, 20 minutes before you go up onto the top.
Obviously a bit apprehensive because you don't really know how high it is or how much space you've got. And as I'm planning to sort of dance about a bit, I don't particularly want to be the first hobby horse to fall off a plinth in Trafalgar Square. But no, I'm fairly happy with what I plan to do, and hope it won't bore people too much.
And what is it you're planning on taking up with you, as other than there's yourself, the hobby horse?
Well, I'm hoping to take I've got some little music player, which I hope will just provide a bit of background, done by musicians from Stafford Morris Men. So, it's the kind of thing you want to have the tunes to dance to rather than a sit down and listen to the Albion Band or something playing Morris. But I'm taking that up. I'm also taking with me my gown for the Freeman of Stafford. So when I get fed up with being a hobby horse, I may well divest myself of the horse, which is quite heavy, which is strictly against the rules because hobby horses are not supposed to be seen being put on or taken off. But nevertheless, I might do that. Other than that, I'm just taking some just little bits and pieces, a couple of books about Morris dancing, and to show people what exists, together with me hat and bells and flowers and whatever, and my hankies.
And is there anything else you'd like to say for the record?
Well, other than it being 3 o'clock in the morning, it's a really interesting project. And I think that this idea of getting hundreds of ordinary people to do their thing, it's probably going to put a pretty good record of the kind of thinking that exists in 2009. There's a big danger, I'm involved with history clubs and whatever, of thinking that history started in 1066 and went up to 1820 or whatever. There's pretty important that somebody records what's happening today, and I think this project will help very much with that.
Great. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.